So today I want to largely focus the first hour on the issues of gun violence in the city of Cape Town. There was also a shooting last week in Otterie, in the Lotus River Otterie area, where a young man was killed. And I came across a Facebook post of an organization called Life Changes Foundation. They're based in the Otterie area, and they say that they're dedicated to getting people substance-free, self-sustainable, skilled, educated, and reconciled with their families to become role models in society, in a society that once rejected them. And there was a post by the founder of that Life Changes organization. I want to read it out in its totality. And he says, "We at Life Changes Foundation want to extend our sincerest condolences to the Tissong family and other immediate family members of Austin. I've watched Austin grow from a happy child into an angry and broken man. I've seen that sweet smile vanish into the evil of this world as challenge after challenge hit him over the years. This is what the Cape Flats has the power of doing. If it does not rob you of your dreams, it takes away your smile and may take your life too. Yesterday, standing at the scene of the shooting, I was broken into 1,000 pieces as I realize how this cycle is killing young men. The pain it leaves in the hearts of all who love them is unbearable. We all just carry on and face a new day after the grave is closed. The kids, mothers, fathers, siblings, grandparents, neighbors, and the rest of the family are left behind with this empty feeling after losing someone. There's no counseling. There's no dealing with the traumatic experience that was witnessed by all who saw the shooting. No, nothing. All just carrying on with all that goes along. I can't explain what I'm feeling now. I'm just grateful to have a professional who I can speak to. Please do visit us when life gets too much. Let's speak through our pain as we journey through our pain and darkness together." That was written by Brandon Eckhart, reflecting on the murder of a young man called Austin Tissong. And Brandon Eckhart joins me now on the line from Otterie. He's part of the Life Changes Foundation. What resulted in you writing this really powerful piece, Brandon, paying tribute not only to a young man that was gunned down, but also reflecting on how this has become normalized every single day in the city of Cape Town? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mister. When I'm sitting listening to you read that to me, I'm thinking it was like something just welled up inside of me again. And I sit and I think often about the boys that we bury, and that's not an easy thing to do. When we started this organization 17 years ago, it wasn't something that we thought would be this painful to deal with. Like life after life, we see guys go to the trade all the time. It's not an easy thing. But it's also, when I look at Austin, just one of the many boys over the years, we've seen and buried so many. I mean, for this year already, I've been at 9 funerals of boys that we know. And so when I think about it, it's painful, it's hurtful, and the families do sit there. If I feel this way, how does that mother feel and how does that father feel? And yes, these kids are actively involved in gangs, a lot of them. But like I said in that process, so this is something that the case does yield. It's not something that we can look at and say, look at here, they have opportunities and they have shots to make a bet. It's not an easy decision for them to make. You have gangs who suck guys in for a pair of Jordans. I mean, mother can't buy this, father can't buy that, or they can't provide them certain things, and they want it elsewhere, so gangs provide them with that. Gangs provide the things that family should be providing, and it's not happening. So
I'm utterly disheartened at how gun violence is so normalized, even in the conversations that I have with friends and colleagues who live in Manenberg, and say, "Oh, yo, let Vierkestein geskiet, they shot someone last night." And a normal human response would be, "Oh, really? Is it? What happened? Are people okay? Were people arrested?" And the usual response, particularly when we work in media, is like, "Oh, is it? Is that so? It's become completely normalized to talk about gang violence and gun violence in the city, yeah, and it hardly makes a blip. I did not hear anything about a shooting in Ottery that killed a man called Austin Tussong until I saw your post at the weekend.
That's, we see, it's almost every week. Every week. I mean, last night I was sitting at a friend's house and I got a phone call. Someone called me and I said they just killed somebody. Not in Ottery, it was in Alstroever. I was shot in the head, but it was a gang member or something. It apparently was. I'm not sure. Don't want to say that, but yeah, a gang. So he was shot. And then I'm thinking, the conversations of our life, it's continually that. This one gets shot, that one gets shot, and we just continue. So if you look at that, I'm looking at photos of kids standing by and seeing a dead body laying in the road. How desensitized is that kid over there? He sees it all the time. So tomorrow when somebody gets shot, there's no big deal for them. It's nothing. It's a light and so...
Here's a messenger that's just coming. Oh, no, not for me. Too much murder, Lester. I am leaving by. And I think, how lucky are you? How lucky are you that you can switch off? No, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about and listen to about murder today. I don't want this in my life. Oh, sorry. I'm going to switch off the radio because you don't have that opportunity. The people that you live with, Brandon, does not have that opportunity to say, we want to step back from gun violence today. That's fine.
Yeah. You know, I live not too far from the gang violence, but where I am, it's sort of it's safer. So it is not that bad. But we hear gunshots go off here. And even if a gunshot goes off, I must think, is that one of my boys being shot now? Which one of us being shot? Or is it one of our boys shooting somebody else? Because we work with guys who are actively involved in gang stuff. And so when you sit and listen to their stories, it's like they don't think they're doing a bad thing. I was sharing with somebody yesterday. I said, you know, if you look at the Cape Flats, it's like we're living with a bunch of psychopaths. And nobody's looking at it. Nobody sees it as psychopathic behavior. But it is. For a kid to walk up, a 17-year-old or a 15-year-old to walk up and pull a trigger in a man's face and walk away, laugh like it's nothing, that's not normal. It's not normal. And nothing is done about it. I mean, with regards to counseling and stuff like this, there's hardly any social workers on the Cape Flats. There's hardly any. Or if there are, you know, we fight with them all the time. So we have our own social work at our center. Thank God for that. But the trauma doesn't, it's not being treated.
You mentioned in that post, which I read out, you mentioned no counseling, no dealing with traumatic experiences that were witnessed, no nothing. We spoke last week about schools not having enough social workers and psychosocial support for children who experience, you know, the trauma of violence. But I'm also quite interested to know about the family members, the ordinary men and women in the street. Doesn't have to be just children. It could be older people as well. It could be middle-aged mothers and fathers. And I wonder what this then happened. What happens to them in terms of a psychologist's ever-increasing post-traumatic stress disorder for people who live in Cape Town?
I think that is why we have so much alarm. The alcohol problem in the Cape Flats and Mandrake is such a big thing. Because on the Cape Flats, you'll notice the older people fall to drugs or to any substance abuse. It's not tick and it's not heroin or things like that. It's Mandrake and it's alcohol. Because I'm sure if your kid dies, you want to get in your pain. Yes, you do. A few years ago, my older brother was killed. His car was taken and he was stabbed over 20 times. And I saw what that did to my mother. She didn't go to drugs because she had faith. But still, I could see it weigh her down. I could see her, you know, what she went through. And I mean, my mom was a social worker and she was struggling to do it. Now I think about this. For somebody, let's say somebody who comes from a disadvantaged background and who hasn't sort of gotten no study further in life, or don't know about counseling, or don't know how to deal with pain and trauma, what do? They go to a bottle. They go to a bottle or they go to a pipe. And so now they come into, you're a kid coming from school, walking into that. That's what you see. And the drug dealer on the corner, he looks like the cool guy driving the nice Mercedes Benz. Who are you going to, you lean to him instead of lean to your own parents? So the family gets broken down because of things like that. And in the end, that boy becomes a gangster and perpetuation happens.
Stefan is calling in from Century City. Good morning, Stefan. How are you doing?
Good, and yourself?
Very good. What's on your mind?
Look, yeah, this is a touchy subject, and it actually really catches at my emotions, because you know the people of the Cape Flats are utterly forgotten, and this should not be happening in 2021. I mean, it's 25 years into the new, open world of South Africa. And this is still happening. Yeah. You know, where's our president? This should be addressed at a national level. And not once have we ever seen any comment on this on a national level. It is ridiculous that a 2-year-old or a 14-month-year-old or whoever gets shot or murdered. And, you know, gun violence is not the issue. It's the whole social economic situation of the Cape Flats. Drug addiction, alcohol abuse, lack of opportunities, people being stuck in a system that they can't get out of. It really, I just don't know how people can be quiet about this. It's ridiculous.
Stefan, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Brandon, your organization, Life Changes Foundation, you provide an outlet. You provide an opportunity for particularly young men to see an opportunity, a little bit of exposure into a broader world beyond just the tenement flats in which they live in. But what other outlet? We talk about we need 10,000 or 1,000 more police on our streets. We don't. We need 1,000 more teachers, 1,000 more social workers, and 1,000 more jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am using the opportunity. You say, like, I fully agree with what you're saying, when you say, that we don't need more police. We do even need what you just mentioned, teachers and social workers and those sort of things, and psychologists. Opportunity, you know, what we do is we try and give people dreams again. We sit down and have a conversation with this boy, no matter how hard, no matter how evil he may be, no matter what he may have done. We have a conversation, just a normal conversation. And in that conversation, we make notes and see, look at you, this kid, this is where he falls short, this is his dream, that's what he wants to do. And we try and build a platform for him to do that. But in order to get him there first, we awaken the dream. After awakening the dream, what we then do is try and get him the necessary help he needs. Let him see our social work, support the psychologist, do what he needs to do, work and find out where he needs to go with his life. And then also what we do is we partner with another organization. One, I can't make mention of the name because of the delicacy of the situation. I don't want to say we send our guys. So we send guys off to Joburg, and they stay there for 2 years. And at this place, what they do is they do like skills training and that sort of stuff. But everybody, they are all active or have been active in gangs and that sort of stuff. And so that has been something that has worked well for us over the years. A few years back, we had our own farm in Joburg, but we couldn't maintain the farm no more, and then they shut it down and find a partner, which is okay. So it's a good thing. It's less work for us, and they get the job done also. And so so we send our guys out there, and some of them come back, some of them find work within Joburg area or Durban or P, wherever they go to, because obviously with the violence that they've caused on the flats, they shouldn't be.
So you want to take people who may be in danger here, take them out of the area, try and skill them, rehabilitate them, counsel them. But the thing is, they can't come back to where their families live, where they were born, and that's where we are inclined to go. We want to go back. We want to be amongst our family.
Do you know, Lisa, when you say that, I think so often, I say this often, I say the Cape Flats isn't, think about what it was built for. It was built in the apartheid regime. They built it, and what was done for them to break down the way people think. It was socially engineered to destroy. And so the people in the Cape Flats were sort of engineered to kill each other. Mm. If you look at how it's built, I think it was Sam Peter Blanche wrote a book called The Western Empires. I think it's that book, where he speaks of social engineering and actually speaks about the Cape Flats and how it's built. And so I encourage people to get off the Cape Flats. I tell people, look, it's just, you can't stay in this place. I mean,
it's planting an idea for what is beyond, because for many young men and women, all they know is the tenement flats in which they grow up in. Brendan Eckhart, thanks so much for joining us. Life Changes Foundation, based in Ottery. Really appreciate your time.